Amen. I believe we are the beloved of the Lord. That's why he can come before it is too late to forewarn us. And that's all we've been trying to do here, getting ourselves prepared, especially with the June program we had for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Having the understanding of what Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, speaking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the ticket for the rapture. Hallelujah. Christ in you is not a confession. Christ in you is an experience that is producing a revival. But like I say, we are in a journey from earth to glory. Hallelujah. We are walking with expectation to reach the promised land. And like Egypt, they left Egypt. Israel left Egypt for the promised land. As soon as they passed the Red Sea, I repeat, water baptism. The pillar of fire came down in their midst. A revival took place. Hallelujah. But as soon as the revival started, the enemies of revival began to manifest. And what happened in the wilderness is a type of what certainly will happen in the grace age. They left Egypt for Canaan land. We are leaving the earth to glory. And I said that when they left Egypt, there was a wilderness journey. When you give your life to Christ, there will also be a wilderness journey. Certainly. That's the reason Christ has not come. And church, listen. Listen. There are different categories of people that we go to heaven or that are seen in heaven in the book of Revelation. There are some that are just wearing white garments. And there is another group, hallelujah, that we are seen standing on the sea of glass. And there is another one that was seen, another group, and this group is the bride. And this group is seen in white linen. The quality of the material they were putting on was different from the other group of people. They were putting on white linen material. Why? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a special identity. But they earned that identity. That's why I believe with the whole of my heart that anybody that will go in the rapture, listen carefully, you will not receive the Holy Ghost today and next week you will die and expect to go in the rapture as a bride. Lie. Is somebody understanding me? No, because the bride of Jesus Christ, they are given talent and they are told to occupy till I come. And then after that, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ for a reward. How can they reward you when you have not earned anything? Anybody that will be in the bride member will not receive the Holy Ghost and tomorrow you die. No! You will receive the Holy Ghost. You will be alive to pass through the wilderness journey. Why? There your faith will be tested. Because it's not everybody that left Egypt that made it to the promised land. Hallelujah. And that's why we are continuing today, and I pray, though time is very short, but that it's not how long I speak, but my ability to package the picture. You just catch the picture. We are not in a law court where I have to give you too many decided cases before the lawyer or the judge will be convinced to say I win or I no win. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So if I give you only three examples, the matter will be established. Praise the Lord. We are looking at enemies of revival, and today is part three. The enemies of revival. Just a little thought, and we share the grace and go. And I said something, that this revival is in twofold. There is the personal revival as an individual, and there is a corporate revival as a church. And each of them has enemies. And what I've been doing for the past three Sundays is to look at your personal revival, the thing that can disturb your own personal revival. Hallelujah. What can stop you as an individual from entering the promised land, which is the kingdom of God? And I said, as an individual, as a Christian, the kingdom of God is in twofold. First, the kingdom of God is within you. And then, the kingdom of God is the soon coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, the 1,000 years reign, which is what the bride is looking forward to. After the rapture, we are coming with Jesus Christ after he has crowned us and distributed us to where we shall rule with him on earth. For 1,000 years, we come down. That is the kingdom of God. And I say that the kingdom of God first is within you. Why? Because, like I always quote, that Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God, hallelujah, Luke chapter 17 said the kingdom of God coming not by observation, because the kingdom of God is not in any address anywhere. The kingdom of God is not at Ijesha. The kingdom of God is nowhere else. But he said, Christ said, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. How? Why did he say the kingdom of God is within you? Because Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat or in drink, but the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You are in the kingdom of God when you are able to experience true righteousness, the ability to live a life before God. You are in the kingdom of God when you are experiencing peace, not the peace, hallelujah, that the world will give you as a result of any worldly achievement, and joy, the type of joy that whether you have or you don't have, you are always in a joyful mood. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why he said the kingdom of God is within you. And until you are able to experience this, you are not yet in the kingdom of God. And if you don't experience that, well, how can you experience the soon coming kingdom? You can't enter. And there are enemies of revival. Apostle Paul, knowing there are enemies, hallelujah, just like in the wilderness, we had the Edomites, we have the Ammonites, we have the who again? Moabites, Philistines, all of them. They were on the way to make sure that Israel did not get to her promised land. So also we have them also. As Christians. And those enemies are not witches and wizards. No witch, no wizard can stop you from going to the kingdom of God. They are not. Hallelujah. They are not government policies. They are not. No, none of this. It's not even sickness or disease. It can't stop you from entering the kingdom. But they are there. And Apostle Paul says, strive to enter. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 9. Apostle Paul, hallelujah, was giving his advice. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain the reward that we are expecting. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And Apostle Paul used himself as an example. I therefore so run, not as was certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but how does he fight? What he's saying here is this. The fight that he's fighting is not to sit down and use physical, kick, the beat. That's not the type of fight, oh. This is the type of fight. Verse 27. But I keep under, hallelujah, my what? My body, and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. He said he keeps under his body. That is, he tames his body. That means the greatest enemy you have to enter into the kingdom is you yourself. William Branham made that statement too. He said that the greatest problem he has in life is the man, William Branham. He said, oh, if he can keep William Branham aside, he will have no other problem. Because as long as you are in this body, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 call it corruptible body. He said, this corruptible we put on incorruption. Because this body, everything about it is corrupt. It's corrupt. That is exactly what Apostle Paul said again in Romans chapter 7. We read it the other time. Where he said that he finds two laws within him. Inside of him, he wants to do good. But when he wants to do good, he will see evil there. Instead, it is the good he wants to do, he finds he's not able to do. But it is the evil, the bad things, nature, the things that he doesn't want to do, is the thing he sees himself doing. And he doesn't like what he's doing. Yet, he finds himself doing what he does not like to do. There's a battle inside of you. So your number one enemy is your own self. That is number one enemy of revival. You decide today I want to fast. Now that day, now your body will say, you lie. I'm a chop today. And the aroma that you didn't use to take note before, once you enter the house, you will begin to smell it. Any food, fast food joint, your eye must see it. Anybody eating by the roadside, your eye must see it. Before you know they see amo. See? We went to fast and pray one day with somebody in a camp. We said we shall do dry fasting for 3 days. After the second day, the brother came and said, Brother Moses, I said, waiting. He said, they hear him, body, they talk, tell and say, I need food. I said, answer him back. I no go chop. He left. After some time, he said, Brother Moses, he is still saying it. He said, yeah, he said, now in body, they tell him, I need food. And that is how the brother broke the fast. He broke the fast. That is the weakness we have. And so, did he achieve what he went to the camp for? No, by a weakness. Then after you ate, finish, then you begin to regret it. It happens. Anytime, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your body, if this is all I say now, and we end this topic, and somebody can catch it, I will be satisfied. You are the enemy of yourself. Hebrew chapter 12. Hebrew chapter 12. Apostle Paul again, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's my apostle, the chief apostle, the chief first apostle. Verse 1 and verse 2. Wherefore, See, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The important thing that I'm bringing out here is the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sin that draw you back when you want to move forward. Sin that will stop you from entering the promised land. That will stop you from going in the rapture. That will stop you from receiving your reward when you make the rapture. Because Apostle Paul mentioned, he said, every man's work shall be tried. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says so. Every man's work shall be tried. What sort it is. So some people will not receive reward. Why? Because the enemies of this revival defeated them. It will not defeat you in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, cloud of witnesses. There are two sets of witnesses. Witnesses of people that face the same problem that you and I are facing now, but they surmounted all these problems. They were overcomers and they made it. That's why in every church age, the message to every church age, it ends with he that overcometh. Every age, there's something to overcome in this Christian journey. In this age also, he that overcometh, there's a reward for them that will overcome. So there are people that overcome. We know their history. They are witnesses. And there are some too that did not make it. They are also witnesses for us. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we read, he said, he gave us the history of how, what happened in the wilderness. They all left Egypt. They all ate the manna. They all passed through the Red Sea. They were all under the cloud. They were all under the pillar of fire. They drank from that water that flowed from that miraculous rock. But not every one of them made it. And he gave the reasons. So he said, these things are written for our example, to whom the end of the world have come. And number one witness we spoke last week, we said was Moses. Despite all the testimonies we spoke about concerning Moses last week, a mighty man of God with all the privileges, with all the wonderful commentary concerning him from God himself, because of one weakness, he didn't enter the promised land. What was that weakness? Say it very loud. Anger. If anger stopped Moses from entering, anger can still stop you from entering now. Somebody say, God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the wilderness, what stopped them from entering? Apostle Paul listed them. He said, lusting after evil things, idolatry, fornication, and tempting God. He used the word tempting God, but from the usage there, you can see that what he was saying was that they were murmuring against God. They were speaking against God. God hates it. Because of it, they didn't enter. Because of these things, Apostle Paul listed out, they didn't enter. Apostle Paul listed again, in this our grace age, those who cannot enter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's in the Bible, and those are the important scriptures that every true Christian that is watchful will underline in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Hallelujah. Can I go on? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? See, those who cannot inherit. You know, these scriptures are written there. And you will see that, you know, I preached a message that I titled Unbelievers in the Church. Who remember that message? Unbelievers in the Church. Why do I say, you are going to church, but you are an unbeliever? How do I know? Because the same things that the Bible speaks against, you are doing it. So, how has going to church profited you? What is the difference between you and those outside there? So, you are an unbeliever going to the church. So, we call you unbelieving Christians. Because this is a serious point here for everybody to examine. If you truly want to go to heaven, this is what he said. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, you don't understand what is meant by unrighteous. He broke it down. Apostle Paul broke it down. Be not deceived. Because, church, I have seen preachers that preach grace. The way they present grace is as if now you are a Christian, so God does not see your sin anymore. Therefore, just live your life anyhow. It doesn't matter. That's why Apostle Paul added, he said, be not deceived. It means you can be deceived. Do not be deceived. And he named them. Neither fornicators. And you know, this is the commonest sin in the world. And it is more common in the church than in hotels. Ha! William Branham turned and looked at America and said that he is sure of the vision he saw. The confirmation that America, one of the visions he saw that the Lord told him will come to pass before the rapture, was that he saw America blown to pieces. And he said he believed it because he said that if God should forgive America, he said, this is an American speaking. If God should forgive America, he said, God is obligated to wake up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for punishing them. He said, because the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is not half of what is going on in America. Certainty of the judgment of God. And remember, America is a Christian nation. Christians came together and started that country. But now, it is an offense to mention the name God in any public place. You read it, you know what is happening. Supreme Court has passed that law. They have passed the law. You don't hang commandment in your court. Anywhere is public. You can do in your private something, but public, don't mention God. No religious study. Don't try to convert somebody to your religion. They say it is wrong. And if I send my child to school, to your school, and you begin to teach him Christian religious knowledge, I will sue you to court. They are removing God totally. How will God spare such a people? That's why I say, when it comes to backsliding, when the devil wants to make an assignment with a Christian, he doesn't come at once. It's small, 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 small. You will achieve this. You will achieve this. You will achieve this. Small, small, small. The first one, you will accept it and justify it. And it becomes part of you. Then you will introduce another one. Justify it. And I keep saying it. Some of you sitting down here now, even ministers disagree with me in this church. But we never change that revelation. It is plan of the devil to naked women in the church that remove hair covering of women in the church. It's part of it, small, small. They drop it by saying, you don't have to cover your hair when you're going to church. No, no, no. And it is a very major doctrine. Now it's a major doctrine. If they see you cover your hair, they will make a sermon of you. Sister, you're a beautiful woman. Why are you covering your hair like that? Leave your hair covered. Go and palm it and color it and put attachment and look fine. And they think that they are preaching the gospel, not knowing that it is a virus that has been injected into the system. See, When HIV does not manifest the day it enter your body. No. HIV will enter. By the time you discover you begin to be sick, it has spent at least 15 years. At least 15 years it has been inside your body. That's the truth. Anytime they discover that it has reached AIDS, it has been there 50 years. That is how Satan works. By the time you discover, why did the church now, people are dressing naked and going to the church? It didn't start in this age. It didn't start last year. It didn't start from Nigeria. It's a virus that was injected into the church. And it was eating up and eating up and eating up. And now, it doesn't matter. You can naked yourself. You can come anyhow. That is Satan for you. Fornication. Fornicators will not enter. They will not enter. Hey, fornicator, you will never enter. And don't let anybody explain that away from you. Because you can never remove it from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 6. Number one, fornicators. No, idolaters. An idol worshiper is not only those who go to Babalawo. You can make your pastor, your geo, your pope, your idol. And God forbid us from worshiping anybody. Worshiping anything other than him. Church, when we speak here, they make us look like critics. Like critics. Go, let me show you just one thing. I think I have time to do that. Let me just show you one thing. Acts chapter 10. That thing just came to my spirit now. Idolaters. Idol worshippers. Idol worshippers. They are carrying Bible and they are worshipping human beings in the church. Are we there? Hallelujah. Where I am reading, to summarize where I am reading, Acts chapter 10. Peter, what do you call him? Cornelius was praying. A vision appeared to him that he should send for a man at Joppa by the name of Peter. Let him come. He sent his men. Before they got there, Peter was at the top of the roof about to break his fast. When a vision broke forth to him and told him there are three men waiting for you, he came down and he saw them. And then they led him to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. And for a vision to appear like that, and he saw a man in a vision, and a voice telling him, go and meet this man, it means that man is not an ordinary man. And so, see what he did. Peter now has gone from verse 23. Peter has gone to Cornelius now. Then called he them in. Cornelius called them now in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter called them in and lodged them at Joppa. And the next day, on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends to see this wonderful thing he saw in a vision. Verse 25. And that's where I am going. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But see a revelated man of God. Verse 26. But Peter took him up saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. But do you know that the Pope of Rome, anyone that sees him, you will bow down at his feet and kiss his feet. What happened to Peter? And they said Peter is the first Pope of Rome. Peter rejected worship, but the Pope is accepting worship. Every idolater, you will never enter the kingdom. Can never enter. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Can never enter. That's the meaning of idolatry. When you take the word of a man higher than the word of God, you are an idolater. idolater. You are idolater. If you hang a man's picture to reverence him as some super person, you are an idolater. Idolater. It's idolatry that will make you. If I speak anything against Jesus, you are not offended. But if I say anything against your pastor, you can kill me. You are an idolater. Idolater. That's idolatry. And people don't know it. And it's very easy for Satan to make you an idolater. Very easy. Very easy. Very easy. Very, very easy. Every time you see Pastor Moses in your dream, anytime a demon comes to you, listen, church, anytime a demon comes to attack you, and you shout, "Hey, Pastor Moses!" and the demon runs away, hey, that demon is trying to turn you to an idol worshiper. Let me tell you, the name of Moses does not shake any demon anywhere. I'm telling you something now. The name of any man on earth here can never shake a demon. If you call the name of any man and the demon ran away, he's trying to make you an idol worshiper. Because from that day, you will not call Jesus again. You'll be calling Pastor Moses. He has succeeded in making you an idolater. Somebody tell yourself, I will never be an idolater. No adulterers. Adulterers here. You know themselves. Married men, married women. Going about and fornicating up and down with people you have not married. Not a few minutes. Hallelujah. A few minutes. No, abusers of themselves with mankind. Gay, homosexual. A man, a Christian man and woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Apostle Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Let's read it. Romans chapter 1. Now in Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Which verse is that? See, that's the way he put it from verse 18. Let me just read it from there. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Because of that," verse 24, "wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. How? "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bound in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." What happened? The Apostle Paul is saying, a man, instead of naturally having a natural affection towards a woman, he became vile in his affections. And instead, he will be the type of feeling he should have for a woman, he's not having it for a man. You say it is happening in the world. People carry Bible. They ordain gay bishop. He declared, he said, I am a gay. And the church still ordained him bishop. Abomination in the church. Apostle Paul, the prophet Daniel, Jesus Christ said, he said, when you see the abomination that make it desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then he who read it, let him understand. Hallelujah. Unbelievers, Nigeria's National Assembly, they brought that bill. The second day they brought that bill, they threw it out. The bill that say a man can marry a man. But the church, people carry this Bible, they ordain bishop. Church, if a bishop is ordained, what of the members? They are saying it doesn't matter. Gay, woman, you can marry woman. Man, you can marry man. And if you are homosexual here, ha! If you are a lesbian here, you are finished if you don't repent. You are finished if you don't repent. It's abomination. It's abomination. You are having a psychiatric problem. Go for deliverance. Church, you say, but that is how I feel. Yes! It's the same type of feeling. A madman will go to dustbin and lie down there. And that is how he feels. He's mad. He's not normal. You're not normal. That you don't like to touch man. But you, now your own a woman. You don't like to touch woman. Your own a man. If you see a man, then your body will charge. You are mad. You have a psychiatric case. You don't know. Go for deliverance or you will never enter. You are coming to church. It's in vain. And not only that, you are an unbeliever in the church. You are an unbeliever in the church. And the path you will enter in hell will be hotter than those gates that are outside. Because you have the Bible to tell you what God says concerning it. He said you will enter hell. You say what? Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation. Maybe you have not seen this now. You have not seen the scripture before. Chapter 21. Verse 7 and verse 8. He that overcometh shall in all inherit all things. You see, overcome again. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. I'm reading Revelation chapter 21. Now verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My emphasis there is say abominable and whoremongers. It's an abomination for a man to lust after another man sexually. It's an abomination. It's an abomination for a woman to lust after another woman. It's an abomination. Lesbianism. You are children of hell. Don't be partaker of that. Abominable. Whoremonger are those who are going about sleeping all around with anything that wears skirt. You will sleep. Anyone that wears trouser, you will sleep with him. Anyone that says, I love you, you love me, and you open. You open. The Bible says you are a whoremonger, man or woman. You're a prostitute. If you allow any man to sleep with you who has not paid your dowry, you're a prostitute. It's abomination. I want to say hard because I want you to repent. First Corinthians, let's continue. Let's continue that reading. Chapter 6, where we are reading. I have just 5-10 minutes. I'm closing. Chapter 6. I read it again. Where did we reach? He mentioned verse 9, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Thief is thief. No small thief, no big thief. You are stealing your office, you are a thief. You steal in the church, you are a thief. You steal in your house, you are a thief. You steal from your husband, you are a thief. You steal from your wife, you are a thief. A thief. You can never enter the kingdom. You can never enter the kingdom. A thief. Ah, the sisters are reacting. You're a thief from your husband. You're a thief. You will never enter. You are saying the man not they give up. The man not they give up. The man not they give. It's because you depend on him. His your source of supply is not your husband. So don't descend. Don't risk your eternal destination by stealing. Let him know now you carry him. After you carry him, finish when he come. What did they look for there? That money will keep there. Say, Nami carry him. If you don't tell him, you're a thief. Not covetous. Not drunkards. Drunkards. Drunkard is a drunkard. In the church, there are drunkards. Hallelujah. There are some church members that connive with our ministers during communion service. That's the truth though. They connive with some of our ministers. Can't you see? Then they fill some people cup. Then some people then they give small. You are a drunkard. You are a drunkard. A drunkard. A drunkard. I am not lying, you know. It happens in this church. And the minister that does that is shame upon you. You are not qualified to be a priest in the house of God. Because you are not upholding the sanctity of the vessels of God. It's a shame on you. I hear it. I see it. You are a drunkard. You will never enter. You will never enter. You will never enter. You will never enter. You say I'm lying. Okay, why some people want the full? Some people want only small. Praise the Lord. Drunkards. Revelers. Those are those who have agbero spirit. They can fight anywhere. They are those disgracing the name of the Lord. Revelers, you are carrying Bible. Then you say, no, this is not Bible matter. Now you drop Bible. And you begin to rack. You are a reveler. You will never enter into the kingdom of God. And what's the last one? Extortioners, 419. He said, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Extortioner, if you lie to anybody to collect something from him, you are an extortioner. There are some that the type of sin they commit is twofold. That is double hammer follows them. For instance, if I come to you and tell you a story, a pathetic story of myself, and say, I need 5,000 naira. You give me 5,000 naira. I come to you again, repeat the same story. You give me 5,000 naira. I will be guilty of extortion. And I will be a liar. So you see, double hammer following you. Because everyone you commit is a hammer. And this sin is common in the church. As I preach all this one now, that's why there are some people now that put helmets. As I throw them, then they throw them back to me. They are throwing it back at me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I return it back to you in Jesus' name. I'm sending something to you. They send them back to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another character is Judas. Judas was part of that revival, but he could not get to the upper room, the promised land. Why? Love of money. Now, so many of us, the reason why we will not make the rapture, the reason why we will have no reward, even if we make the rapture, the reason why this revival which shall fall by the wayside is money, 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 money. You love God so much until there is nothing you see in Christ than that you can use him to get money. That's it. Anything you do, if there is no financial gain in it, you will not be involved. It has descended even to the ministerial level. If we say, come for outreach tomorrow, evangelist, if we don't attach money to it, they will not come. Some people will not come. But the thing is that you are, but there are some that will come. Two groups of people, all in the church. Some come, some will never come. Why? If I come, so what will I get inside it? See, you know now what they have done with the gospel. These songs that we sing in our hymn book, they didn't sell it to us. The people that sang it did not go and launch it and sold it to and copyrighted it to. This is the first age in Christianity that everything that is done is copyrighted. It is my work. What do they call it? There's an English word, they use it. Something about intellectual property. I think that's the language. They call it intellectual property. Something you use your intellect to do, let another person not copyright it. If it's a book, they call it plagiarism. They call it copyright. You copy my work. Why will he not say so? Because the person that copy is copying it to also sell to make money. If you have a new song to sing, you will come to the church to sing it. You can only produce it in cassette to sell. Everybody now is a gospel musician. People don't know, it's the same spirit that is in Judas that is on them. You receive that talent. Which school do you go to read, to pay, to receive talent to sing? There is no school that can make you have inspiration to sing songs. It is a God-given talent. And God gave it to you to use it to worship him. But you are selling it. You are selling it. It's wrong. Get this tape and go to Nigerian Music Association, what they call it. Play this tape for them to hear. It's wrong. They are not gospel musicians. They are commercial musicians. They are commercial musicians. Commercial musicians. And these days, true Christians now can't differentiate between a true gospel music and a commercial music. Any song, they add Jesus on top. Oh, that's a Christian music. Oh. My wife was telling me she stopped listening to the music of one man. Akposu, Akposu. Okposu. They were interviewing him on television. He said, they said, do you play in churches? He said, no. He doesn't play, sing in churches because there's no money there. They don't pay. So you now know he made it clear to the whole world, I am a commercial man, I only use in church. Because that's the world market, is everybody is born again now. That is a Judas spirit.
Judas spirit.
That will make somebody receive a gift. You are a prophet. You cannot see vision for anybody unless a drop offering. You are a Judas. You can't go and conduct deliverance for anybody unless he pay you money. You are a Judas. The same thing. The same thing. And even if you are in prayer assembly, it's the same spirit. Judas. Judas. Those of you who are gifted, you know the people you visit now to pray for them in their houses. You know. And you know why you chose this one. You didn't choose this one. This one, depending on the type of car he brought. I was telling some ministers recently, I said, see, the fact that you see somebody coming with a big jeep does not mean he has money. I say, listen to him first. You will soon discover that jeep is the only thing he gets where they still give him a small road to make him enter some places, continue to, because everything has been locked. That's the only thing. He just keep that one just to go where he can have road. He knows, say, as he go to church now, even come by Okada, you know, go see pastor. But if he come with that big car, then go open door for him to see. So that he will tell you, say, nothing they work for me. Praise the Lord. So sometimes, we that like money too much, we misfire. He came, we can. Then he come. Brother, come. Prophet said he wants to see you. You know, not say you misfire. Judas, the love of money. 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 Can we see what the Bible says concerning that 2 Timothy? If a minister in this age escapes money, he can escape anything else. Hallelujah. Sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. What verse 9 is saying is, those who pursue after riches. He's not speaking against being rich, but those who pursue riches. He said they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Judas pierced himself with a sorrow. He packaged Jesus Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. No wonder God refuses us to know his address. If people know where God addressed them, particularly Nigerians, they will package him and sell him. Everything is money. These days, some of us are afraid to introduce ourselves that we are pastors. Especially where you know people help you. Where my men are. I don't tell them that I'm a pastor. For a long time, I created the impression that I'll be a pastor, you know, those kind of small, hustling ministries. So when they see me, they say, Moses is a pastor now. Moses is a pastor. Now so. So then they see me as a person where frustration disturbs me. So they, now I don't say I become pastor. So I like it like that because then they help me. Because this is not that type of church. It's not. If it is that type of church, how can people be like this and I go suffer? I can't suffer. It's true now. Up to this moment, I don't own a house in Lagos. I'm still living in a rented apartment. When the rent is due, my heart going to do chicky, chicky. Landlord will soon come. Amen. But I will build my own house for this Lagos. I said, you will come for the dedication. You will come. Hallelujah. We will come. Because it's a wilderness journey. God must prove whether this is what they preach to through a believer. I must be proved. Satan will prove me. Try me. Hunger will come to see whether I go change. All intermittent churches I know, the pastors alone collect the tithes. All intermittent. If not only me, they collect tithes. I've never built houses. I've not become landlord of houses for Lagos. That's the truth. The church, I am not signatory to any account. Our deacons manage our finances in this church. And it is a thief that will sit down and say all the time belong to him. You are who? The love of money. That is why they have been in their ministry for years. It will never grow beyond 100 people. How can God bless that? See, in this entire message, if you want to go the denominational way, don't attach this message of William Branham to your ministry. If you do that, God will never bless it. This is a restoration ministry. If you try to go the way of the denomination, holding the message William Branham brought to us, God will never prosper that ministry. He's looking for a group of people that will come back to the apostolic faith. Then he can come and say, this is my beloved church in whom I am well pleased. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say so because there are people that are sitting down here, they have only waiting, they are collecting anointing. And they are collecting revelation for them to go and start their church. But let me tell you, if you are going to start a church from this church, it will never prosper if you attach eagle logo and you go the way of chickens. Just telling you now. So think twice. Go for training in Redeem, not Bride Assembly. Go for training at Ota, not Ijesha. Because if you will leave this church and you want to start an inter-message church, if you are going to make it different from this ministry, God will never prosper it. That is the truth. That's the truth. The womb of Rebecca produced Cain and Abel. I mean, sorry. Womb of Eve. That was Eve. This church will not produce another Cain. If you are leaving this place, you must be able. If not, you will never prosper. And I'm not laying a curse. I am telling you a fact. And it's unfortunate that no single minister that has left this church has set up anything resembling this ministry. Nothing. None of them. None of them. All of them is money, 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 money. We are blessing water here for people free. A minister left this place. He's selling his own water, blessing them. He copying from here, but he's going there. No wonder anytime I'm blessing water here, he's seeing the cost of each one, each one. Hey, hey, this man. He set up his own water, each one is 100 naira. And he's telling everybody, I am from Bride. I am from Bride. You are not from Bride, no? You are not from Bride. How can Cain say he's the son of Adam? Love of money has destroyed so many people. It will not destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it will not destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ. You must enter the promised land in the name of Jesus. Because we had Gehazi too. So many Gehazis. I always say it. People are wondering why anti-message churches, they are dead and dead and dead and dead. Dead until people don't know. Some of you didn't know there is a message until God started this ministry.
Elisha.
Elisha walked with Elijah. He studied Elijah. When Elijah left, what happened? A double portion. I said, double portion of the anointing that was on Elijah fell on Elisha. And Elisha continued in double fold whatever Elijah did. Read the scripture and see. Elijah also had to prepare somebody that he will hand over to. Who was that person? Gehazi. But Gehazi, instead of studying the doctrine, studying the way that his master was going, he was busy looking at the possibilities of what he can gain. What Elijah rejected, Elisha rejected. Gehazi went behind and collected it from Naaman. What happened to him? Leprosy. From that time, did you hear of Elisha again? You can't hear of Elisha again. I mean Gehazi again. Did you hear of Gehazi again? From that day till today, anytime Gehazi is mentioned, we think of leprosy. He had opportunity to receive a double portion, but he received what? Leprosy. Why? Love of money. The anytime I say preachers, all over the world, I say, all over the world, the anointing that was on William Branham did not go to the grave with William Branham. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And we are under the Elijah ministry. And William Branham said, before the coming of the Lord, he said, he see the anointing that is with him, hallelujah, alone now. He said, he see it on the bride, on a group of people that will be manifesting what he was manifesting. And that statement has never come to pass. Since there is an end time message church, there is no church that you see the gifts. It's William Branham that started the anointing of discernment. That you will call your name, call your address, call the problem and give solution, and it will come to pass. He started that. But show me any end time message church that is manifesting that gift. Any church that there is a prophet at all in the end time message is him and him alone. And I have told you, church, I said, gifts of the Holy Ghost, gifts are infectious. Gifts are infectious. Anybody that is in a church and only him is operating that gift, nobody else operates that gift in that church, that is not a gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody will soon catch it. A church where there are prophets, prophets will be produced. Healing, there will be people that will be healing. Only one man cannot. And it's not for that man to call 1, 2, 3, come, I want to make you people prophet. It means the thing will chop. The one given a mukuna chop. No man can make you a prophet. No man can make you a pastor. If you want to be a pastor, the way I'm looking at you, Austin, I want to make you a pastor. Come to the altar, I want to make you a pastor. You become Pastor Moses' pastor, not a pastor of Jesus Christ. So, anything I say preach, now you go preach. So every time you mount pulpit, you are giving glory to Pastor Moses. Church, you know how our daddy Moses used to talk. Church, you know how our daddy Moses used to talk. You know, our daddy Moses, he will quote me more than he quote Bible. Because Nami put on there. You know that's what happens in the denominations. Because they are appointed by their pastor. And if they don't do that, the pastor will remove them. But if God call you to be a pastor, who will remove you? You can only change address. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told some ministers recently, I said, look, if you people remove me as pastor of Bride Assembly, you cannot remove me from my calling. I will only change address. Another church will start somewhere else. Certainly, because God called me to be a pastor. And I'm not ordained by a man, appointed by a man. Love of money. Therefore, they never progress. Never progress. The pastor of Enter Message Church, he has built his house, he's changing cars, they look at the members and their condition. It's wrong. Love of money. It is love of money that will make a sister go and make a man that has not married her, keep her somewhere and servicing him and servicing her. Love of money. This is where Pastor Moses they talk. If I tell this man, make you not do again, who will take care of me for Lagos? I not get papa, I not get mama, I not get... This Moses, this pastor, he doesn't understand what the people they go through. I not fit to that one. No. It's true now, because that man is your God, is your father, is your mother. It's without him you cannot live. And yet you are going to church. You will never go in the rapture. You will never go to heaven. Why close your leg to that man? Stop saying that you will suffer. I better suffer on earth and enjoy in heaven than enjoy in heaven. I mean, enjoy on earth and suffer when I get to hell. What will you give? What will you give? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call it away, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Is that not the same spirit with Esau? Esau! For a morsel of meal, sold his birthright. Church, it is your birthright as a daughter of God, as a son of God to prosper. It's your birthright. And for you to sleep with a man so that he can take care of you, you have sold your birthright. You have sold your birthright. Sold your birthright. You have sold your birthright. That's the same thing. Because of what you will eat. Because of what you will eat, you bend the scripture. You're a pastor. You bend the scripture. Because if you say certain way, some people will not come. And if they will not come, I will not get food to eat. So, let's take it easy. Thomas, no, the doctor, no, take it easy now. Take it, it's grace. It's, let them come anyhow. Come anyhow. Now lie. It's after what you will eat. That person can never enter into the kingdom of God. And everybody here, we run away from the world to Jesus Christ. We have put the world behind us. Luke 17 verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She left like you left. The mercy of God pulled them out because fire was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Very soon, fire is coming upon this earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 tells us that. Fire out this head will burn with fervent heat. But before then, God sent his angels, seven of them, and we are in the days of the seventh one to pull his people out before the fire will come out. And with only one instruction, don't look back. You have left the world, don't look back. You have left the denomination, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back. What did she become? What did she become? Hallelujah. Let me read the last scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry. I took this much so that I can close this topic today. Please, bear with me. Those of you who are hungry, please bear with me. This is the last two scriptures I'm reading. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hear what Apostle Peter is saying. Verse 20. Let me read it from verse 18. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think I quoted the wrong scriptures. It's 2 Peter chapter 2, please. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Yes. Verse 20 says, For if, listen carefully, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and not only entangled, but they are overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It's better that you didn't hear this entire message and what Pastor Moses is preaching now, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. I read from verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened with this entire message truth and have tasted of the heavenly gift, you see vision, you hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to you, you've seen the anointing all around you, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, as we saw in June, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.